TNT Radio wants to know what you really think, because your opinion matters. At TNTRadio.live, upload a video, some audio, or drop us a note on TNT Radio's Soapbox. Today's news talk, TNT Radio.
You know what that means.
John Matlin on today's news talk, TNT Radio.
We'll do it live.
Yay!
There you go. Wow, the crowd is fire right now.
They're piling in.
The conversation was Antifa. We were having that conversation. You were in the middle of going off about.
Yeah, because, you know, I've tried to, you know, as an activist, and as you know, John, you know, for COVID, fighting the mandates, we literally ran into the Black Lives Matter rallies. It was happening at the same time, like two universes colliding. Black Lives Matter rallies were out during the summer of George Floyd, and then the anti-mandate rallies were out. And we had no choice but to kind of share space with them. So I reached out. I reached over with an olive branch and came together with them in a lot of ways, because a lot of them are against the masks, are against
they
the vaccines.
Are. Correct.
Right. So I was able to find commonality, common ground. I could sit there and have a conversation with them. I had dinner with some of them, like leaders in Black Lives Matter, trying to find common ground. How can we come together to fight these mandates? How can we help you with what you stand for? And Antifa, on the other hand, you try to go up to one of them and talk to them, they literally look like they want to knock you out. They want to hurt you. They want to physically maim you. They look at you with such hatred in your eyes that I've only come to the conclusion very recently that I do think that they're possessed. I literally think they're possessed. There's no other explanation for the hatred that they show towards people. And I literally have tried to talk to them and ask them what they stand
for.
Super
soaker of holy water.
Wow. They hate us. They don't just hate us. I think they just hate everybody.
Do you, has it occurred to you, you said before, John, has it occurred to you before that you're officially in a John sandwich right now? You're in the middle of two Johns.
There's a lot of Johns in the world.
But what you're saying is true. They don't have a conversation, because I've offered anyone that has tried to argue with me at any of these events we've been at, have that conversation, but they don't act in a pattern that signifies that they're of sane minds.
Oh.
They're not.
BLM, however, I've been able to talk with.
Exactly.
I've sat down
100%.
Like you said, leadership. We figured out how to do the Barclays Center protest, where we stormed the gates, as they said.
Even the most irrational ones that come off, like, remember that kid Desmond? Unhinged a few times, but, like, honestly, he's a good person. I could say
I've talked to him online too.
He's not a bad person. But, like, again, he's not Antifa. Antifa is a whole nother story. Like, they're just not in the same stratosphere. I wish people would stop putting the two groups together.
But what happens is Antifa goes to BLM events
and they hijack them.
So one of the first city ones that I went to was September 13th in Foley Square, 2021. And as the Freedom Rally crew was coming in thousands deep on their march from Union Square, I was already there, and BLM was circling me. And I was sitting there, and we were all looking at each other, and they were whipping a shredded American flag against the floor. And I was sitting there, we were staring at each other, and then Antifa showed up. And it was the weirdest thing, because they came out, they looked like Marilyn Manson crawling out of the shadows. They were draping themselves over the banisters in fishnet stockings, and what is that? And they were like, stay away from them. So it was like the same thing. But no, it's all good.
Right.
The crowd, and the crowd goes wild for John Matlin.
But do you guys have any closing statements? Let everyone know to catch your show, where to follow you, the whole nine, even though you're shadow banned to hell and back, and then to hell and back all over again.
You can find me on Twitter. I'm starting to build a following again. Come visit our Twitter spaces. John and I are going to do one soon. They're a lot of fun. Yeah, we've been meaning to do a Twitter space together. Come follow me at The Gateway Pundit. It's a great publication. Read it. We've been on the right side of history for, ever since I've been writing there. That's why I write for them. Obviously, check out our Newsmax show, Wise Guys, with John Tobacco on Saturdays at 10 p.m. and Sundays at 3 p.m. And if you have DirecTV, you might have to subscribe.
Wherever you're listening to this, please do us a solid. Go to iwantnewsmax.com. Take the poll. Tell DirecTV there are a bunch of JOs and they should stop censoring us. They have two conservative channels. They have 22 liberal channels. They pay the 22 liberal channels, and they want Newsmax to pay them. So at the end of all days, this is straight censorship, Johnny. And, you know, OAN went down, and we were worried then. We're next.
You know, on Twitter yesterday, this is how I found out this happened. The first thing I did was, like, I got up, started my day, went on Twitter real quick, and everyone was like, they have a new feed on Twitter that's people that might interest you. And all of my feed is hardcore leftists that I troll. So that's what I get hit with when I go on Twitter, because they know they'll get me to stay. And everyone's writing, it's finally happened. One down, now we just need Fox News off. They got Newsmax. Yeah, exactly. And I was like, what?
Well, what these idiots don't realize is that Fox is on their side.
Which is true. Yeah. That is true, and it's been happening more and more.
Well, yeah, you know, on that point, and I won't, as we head out here on this last segment, a lot of people don't realize and think, oh, no, Fox is... other than Tucker Carlson...
And that's it.
And, you know, maybe Hannity here and there, but he's more like a parrot than
Hannity's
anything else. I can't deal with him. But other than Tucker, if you look at Fox, any good new talents that they get, they put on Fox Nation, like Tommy Lahren.
Yes.
Right? You want to see Tommy Lahren or you want to see Shannon Bream? Right? You want to see Tommy Lahren because she's a young, energetic, right? All the young, new conservatives that Fox picks up, they put them on Fox Nation behind the paywall.
Correct.
So they're not allowing that young conservative talent to grow. They're burying them in the draw. And if people don't come around to Newsmax.
Well, you know what they know, John? They know at this point nobody's chopping at the block to pay for Sean Hannity and watching him interview Lindsey Graham and engage in rhino ego stroking. That's honest. Like, Jeff, you're out there. How do you feel about Lindsey Graham? This is gonna laugh.
You know, and Fox, I feel like needs Tucker Carlson. I feel like if Tucker leaves, he could easily, you know, be fine without Fox.
Yeah.
And he should, because then he'll be completely free and uncensored. I think he could do what, you know, Joe Rogan does, or you know, someone like that, where he could be his own entity.
He could definitely be his own entity. The issue with Tucker, it's who's going to carry him, and if he makes his own thing, how is he going to keep the companies that hold his servers up? That's the thing. We watch that with Parler. You know, we've watched how they systematically break down any form of resistance that goes against the system. And we watched how they kept Twitter protected and they did their own thing because it was, like you said, John, it's a psyop there to control, monitor, and shape the thoughts. It was an echo chamber to shape thoughts.
Yep.
And they protected that, and all of a sudden a rogue multi-billionaire, the richest man in the world, is like, I'll waste all my money and buy this sinking cesspool. And they went, oh, shit.
Yeah.
What do you do at that point? And then he starts letting out the secrets.
You started in the beginning and said we can't curse.
You could say shit, but in my...
All right, I'm just saying, now you let us know we can curse? I mean, I'm so much more effective as a communicator when I could drop in a bomb here and there. But but Johnny... thank you for having us.
Absolutely.
There's nothing I love more than driving to Weehawken, New Jersey on a
Don't
Tuesday,
say where we are.
On a Thursday night for some IPA beers. And but I only did it for you. And
thank
the
you.
New York Young Republicans, New Jersey caucus, of course. And the whole way here, Kara was saying, why do we have to go to this thing? I mean, can we just call Johnny and tell him we can't make it? Like, she was trying to get out of it hard.
I would be so upset with you, Kara. I would be so upset.
I was confused, but once I knew it was you, John, you know, I love you. I supported you in your campaign. I was praying for you every night.
Yes, and are you going to run again, Kara?
Am I going to run again? Not in that district that I ran in, which was a completely lopsided Democrat district, but I did get 43% of the vote. You know how much work that takes. Running for office is no joke.
It is no joke.
It's like a grind, but you know how much I learned, and I know how much you learned.
I have this this vision where all the people that ran that were not successful this run end up sitting on the city council and just taking the city
back. There's a chance I'll run again. But, you know, like I said, I don't regret running because you learn so much about yourself when you work hard like that.
Yep.
You know, we weren't those candidates that were just putting our names in just to, like, put our names in. We actually were knocking on doors. Oh, we were actually fundraising. We were breaking our, you know, we're not allowed to
curse. And you were back in the boxing ring in your commercials.
Right. I was running down my street. And I wasn't exercising at the time. I didn't even have time. So my commercial of me jogging down the street, I almost died. I don't know. It's natural. It's the Asian part of me.
If you don't exercise.
But, you know.
Seriously.
Just don't eat as much.
I'm struggling over here.
But,
I'm working out. I'm watching what I eat. And I'm struggling. How do you stay so fit without working out?
It's the it's the boxing genetics.
Good genes.
It's genetics. It's genetics and his muscle memory.
Wow.
There you go. Guys, thank you so much for coming on.
JM, you're the best. Thanks for having us.
Thank you so much.
And the next time I am on Wise Guys, we got to make sure I don't get cut because my story is too fire. All right. I will see you guys soon. We're going to switch the panel. Hang tight.
A few moments later.
We swapped out the panel. We have a new panel in. We have Justine, Paul, and Ron Coleman. So we're going to start. Justine, introduce yourself. Tell me a little tale about who you are so I can continue on down the line.
Sure. I'm Justine. I'm a Turning Point USA ambassador, and I'm the vice chair of the New Jersey caucus for the New York Young Republicans. I've been a campus free speech activist since I was a college student, and I'm out of college now, but I interned for the White House after college, and
wow.
I was an OAN contributor, and now I produce for Newsmax, so it's been a great ride.
Okay, awesome. Paul, whatever you would like to disclose at the pub, we let you have room to hide yourself.
How do you do? I'm Paul. I was born in a refugee camp in Italy after my parents escaped communism. Once we came to the States during the Cold War, I just advocated for liberty. And, you know, I've been into politics since probably 10 or 9 years old.
Yeah, there you go. And Ron Coleman.
I'm Ron Coleman. I'm a lawyer.
There you go. All right, so we were talking about this when we were just setting up, Justine. You said that you could not attend senior year in college because of why? Tell us why.
I received death threats on campus for being an outspoken conservative and being a student reporter for this outlet called Campus Reform, where we basically exposed First Amendment violations. But, of course, professors and students didn't like that very much.
So crazy. And I try to wrap my head around it because I heard that as I was setting up all of the equipment here, and I'm sitting here and I'm like, today as I'm on my daily show, which is State of the Nation, I'm looking at the tweets that I received, and it's like all these retweets with "you should die," and it was because I simply said that people that have XX chromosomes have periods. And that was taken as now I'm transphobic because I did not bend the knee and I did not jump right in and say, yes, whatever the hot button topic is. And that, but this is where we're at in this world, is that people want to silence you, mute you, no matter how they can. And in your case was death threats in college, in an in-person situation. And I'm just on social media getting the drip drab, but it's just, it shows where we're at. Paul, have you ever received death threats online? Let's start there. For your political affiliation. Again, somebody that escaped communism.
Not that I know of. I mean, I had my coworker try to cancel culture me, try to get me fired. But death threats, no. I mean, I don't really check social media like that. But yeah, that's about it. Someone just tried to cancel culture me, and that's
Paul, you're the only person I'm going to say this to. I need it a little further away from your mouth while you talk. That's all. I have to. So the people listening right now, we're in a pub. I have a mixer hooked up to a mobile station, and I'm monitoring the volume as we go. So you'll see me just staring at the panel a lot. So it's pretty crazy. All right. Pass it on.
I've never gotten a death threat because no one wants to screw with me. In fact, what's much more likely is that people will drop some kind of nasty remark and then block. I never really get to have the opportunity to see what they're made of. There was one guy actually who threatened me on Twitter years ago, but that was only because he didn't know who I was. And when he found out who I was, it was fine.
That's interesting. So wait, what kind of law work do you predominantly do?
Well, probably at this point in my career, I'm best known as Harmeet Dillon's partner in New York. So I do a lot of constitutional law, election law, free speech law. I mean, I sort of am best known for my free speech work, although for many years I was a trademark lawyer, and I achieved a certain amount of notoriety when I went to the Supreme Court on a case that involved both free speech and trademarks, which is known as the Slants case. But Harmeet asked me to join her firm after I was canceled, after I was fired from my law firm, because I had sued Black Lives Matters, and that was intolerable.
Wow.
So Harmeet said, Ron, I want somebody in the New York area. It turns out that she had a misapprehension about how much like her I was, but it's fine. We've got enough other partners now that the difference can be tolerated. And, you know, I've been actually very busy lobbying for Harmeet's campaign to be elected at the head of the RNC. And in the last 2 days, or this week, I have secured the endorsements of the Montclair, New Jersey Republican Club and the New York Young Republican Club, which took a lot more work than it should have, and than Montclair did.
Very interesting. So
no one messes with me. Yeah, that's it.
So that is very interesting. So you've gone through it. I didn't know that you were canceled out of your first firm.
I was canceled out of my previous one. I was I was representing Gab.com before Andrew Torba became insane, or before his insanity was as obvious as it is now. I mean, he hired me. And my firm wouldn't let me, on the eve of the filing of the lawsuit, where we were suing Google for antitrust violations because they had banned Gab from the Play Store.
I do have to take a quick break. This is TNT Radio .live.
TNT Radio's Jeremy Nell and Germ Warfare.
Russia, Ukraine, and of course, you spoke recently about the ships off the coast of South Africa. Let's start there.
This is fascinating because this scene was printed in the Washington Post, which everyone who follows foreign policy in the U.S. knows that the Washington Post is the CIA rag, and the New York Times is the State Department rag. But this was so important that they actually ordered the Washington Post to print it. So this was basically Tony Blinken having a conversation with one of the Washington Post hacks, which usually follows the CIA menu, and going around a sort of offer you can't refuse mafia style indirectly to the Russians, because they are absolutely terrified about is it happening, is it not happening, Russian offensive, which could start tomorrow, next week, in 2 weeks, 3 weeks, next month, in 2 or 3 months, or never start at all. They don't know. So this is what we call strategic ambiguity. And the Russians, as very good chess players and diplomatic players, are masters of this game.
Jeremy Nell on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Let's take advantage of the freedoms that we have while we have them to advance the kingdom's objective, to be salt and light.
Freedom is hard. Election security involves you, involves the voters.
This election for people of faith is vital that we see a change, because the war against Christians is at an all-time high.
Transparency is the key not only to having honest elections, but to maintaining public trust in those elections.
Our ability to vote is not being withheld from us. No one's trying to stop you from voting.
The one place the American people can have a say is at the ballot box. That's why the Democrats and the far left are working so hard to get rid of all election integrity.
We cannot let our elections be anything but transparent. It is at the very heart of freedom in a free society.
And if we lose America, I mean, it's all over, because the world has looked to America for hope.
Free and fair at salemnow.com. John Madlin.
That sounds like...
Sounds like...
TNT Radio.
Are back from break, ladies and gentlemen. So, Ron, I cut you off, and I feel bad that I cut you off. I want you
to... Nah, don't feel bad.
I want you to
finish... It's not like you made a death threat.
I want you to finish going on about the Gab lawsuit, because we watched things like Parler get taken down, and you're dealing with Gab. There's a lot. There's a lot that
yeah.
goes with that.
Well, Gab is... I mean, it really is amazing how, you know, Google... And all these major corporations, technology companies, platforms, payment platforms, all coalesced and decided that they were going to decide that this was a business that should not be allowed to operate. And I'll tell you, you know, I was comped to like a super member on Gab, and it didn't take me long to figure out the place was full of Nazis. You know, it was a really unpleasant environment. But that's my choice. I don't have to go there. But if people do want to go and hang out with Nazis or fight with Nazis or, you know, whatever they want to do, that should be their right. In any event, my law firm decided on the night before I was going to file this in the Eastern District of Pennsylvania that they couldn't tolerate representing a client that some people thought had a bad reputation. In fact, the closest I ever came to a death threat was when I got this really weird anonymous postcard, which was kind of a threat. When I was
Ron, did it have cut out letters from magazine from like Vogue?
No, that tells the story. Well, this is the 21st century version of it. It was.
It was the ransom text that they installed on their laptop. And okay, I got it.
With what appears to have been a Sharpie, the brave anti-fascist who sent it to me drew a swastika and then one of those circles with a, like Ghostbusters circles, you know? Yes. No Nazis, okay? He sent it to me, Ron Coleman, the Orthodox Jew, okay? Because I was representing Gavin McInnes, which I still am, in his lawsuit against the Southern Poverty Law Center. And that's not even the funny part. The funny part is it was a picture postcard. And what was it a picture of? The San Diego Public Library. No further questions.
And now before we change topics and pass the mic, what was the lawsuit about with BLM that got you fired? Because that one has piqued my interest, because nobody's allowed to say anything bad about BLM
during
that time.
Well, I learned that, didn't I? I was approached by someone who wanted me to represent, along with him, women, oh, what's it? It's the Women for America, Trump Women for America, Women for America First. You know, those two sisters, the Kramers. I don't remember what their thing. They said they wanted to paint the street with their message. If BLM can paint a message in front of Trump Tower, they wanted to be able to also paint a message in front of Trump Tower or somewhere else. And the New York City said, no, we sued New York City. And one Sunday morning I woke up, and the two heads of my department, my partners, told me that my services were no longer desired at this law firm. Why? Because I had sued New York City. I didn't really sue BLM, because we wanted to sue New York City. In any event, we did, resulted in my having the opportunity to become partners with Harmy Dillon, which turned out to be much more fun, and I'm less restricted.
Yeah, you know, all these bad things that have happened to a lot of people ended up being what they say is blessings in disguise.
Oh, yes.
So
yes.
I had no idea when I lost my career after being in healthcare for 18 years that I was going to end up running for Congress, making a difference in the fight against these unjust mandates.
And you probably even thought when you were running for Congress that you wanted to win. And because God loves you, he did not let you win.
That's one way to look at it.
I'm sure of it.
The radio show is a lot of fun, I'll give you that. But I don't know if I'm done running, so we'll see what God has in store for me.
If he wants you to win next time, then that'll be a more appropriate time for you to be in Congress. Being in Nancy Pelosi's Congress would not have been fun.
Oh, it would have been real fun. I am a person that likes to go in like a wrecking ball, and that's where I thrive. But I also would be one of those people that would have withheld the vote from Kevin McCarthy until he conformed to real values of Republicans. I have a thing
against
rhinos.
That was a great moment in American democracy.
Yet, all the tea. Paul, what did you think about that when everybody was saying the Republican Party's falling apart and what's happening here is disgusting? Sean Hannity was on TV banging his fist, and then you had Dan Crenshaw breaking his fists against the wall. He hurt his rhino hoof. What do you have to say about that moment? Was it bad or good for democracy that they stood up and they said they would not vote?
It was definitely good that they stood up. And the Republican Party has been divided for a long time. Barry Goldwater warned us about this type of division. At the time, he will call rhinos liberals, liberal Republicans. And this was back in the 60s. He warned the conservatives about the liberal rhinos. So I think it was definitely good to stand up against, you know, the rhinos, the liberal Republicans. It was definitely good. I didn't like the outcome. I don't think we got enough, you know. Or maybe I'm just a little bit too radical. I want to, you know, abolish the ATF, ASAP, FBI, ASAP, IRS, the Federal Reserve.
So you don't like the three-letter words, huh?
No, I don't. Especially EPA and BLM. Those two agencies I want to get rid of ASAP. They're a big threat to property rights and so much other stuff. But it was good, though, in a way, just to let the rhinos know, fuck around. You know, we're gonna try to stop you. You know, you.
Now I have to bleep. Have to bleep. You cursed.
Oh, damn.
No. So it's So what we're seeing here is a slow change, and what I mean by that is, this can't happen immediately. There wasn't going to be enough Republicans that jumped on immediately. But the fact that they did this and they pushed this many votes for the first time in 100 years is the beginning of the change that you want to see.
It's definitely the beginning. But I also, when you look back at the Tea Party, and I was involved with the Tea Party when it first came up. Ron Paul was the godfather of the Tea Party back in 2007. He founded it. And then it slowly, after, what, 2-3 years, it got hijacked by Sarah Palin at the time and the other paleo conservatives. I wouldn't even call them rhinos, but more of a paleo social conservatives. That whole Tea Party movement got hijacked as well. And this is the first, like, 2 years of Obama's years. So, yeah, we could get all happy and, like, you know, we accomplished something for the time being, but we still have to keep pushing forward and make sure that our message goes through all the way and not get hijacked by the so-called Republicans, conservatives.
Justine?
Well, the left banks off dividing and conquering. And when we show internal fighting in front of the Democrats, and we did a pretty good display at that during the McCarthy vote, I mean, Democrats were making fun of it, and we made ourselves out to look like we're a joke. But that being said, on the plus side, you know, Kevin McCarthy got a good kick in the tuchus, and it makes me think that him knowing that he almost lost that speaker seat will make him become a little bit stronger and make him realize that this wasn't a coronation for him. He really needs to get his act together and stop throwing fellow Republicans under the bus, stop ceding our values and our goals in order to appease to people who want to see conservatism and the movement extinct.
Yeah, but now my question is, you get elected, say you're in Congress, and this is perfect because Anna Paulina Luna got in, first term, freshman, and she was able to hold that line, and people thought she would just conform because she's new, she's a woman, she might be able to be pushed around, and she put the axe down. Would you be able to do that if you went in? Would you do that? Would that be your game plan?
Frankly, I'm not sure. It would depend on the candidate. It would depend on whether we have someone in question like McCarthy and how high the stakes are in Congress, where do we really want to become at risk of not having a Republican speaker at all? And of course, we had a Republican majority. We don't have a very large Republican majority in Congress. I was slightly afraid that there would be enough people who would maybe even vote for Jeffries, and there would be more people voting for Jeffries over McCarthy. Now, of course, everyone says that would have never happened because we have a Republican majority. But when you separate so many votes in the Republican Party, again, divide and conquer. So that's what I'd be afraid of.
I would have done it. I'll tell you right now, I really would have done it. I think that a lot of people that just got in face probably the same thing that I am assuming I would face, and that is, you just got here, you want to rock the boat, your career is done. That's what they go to. Politics always go to your career. Baseline is your career. And I'm like, I was a healthcare worker. That was my career. I lost one. What's two? That is why I say we need real people to get into office. It's a change that you want to see, because you would get what you're looking for. And I'm pointing at Paul. I know you can't see that. Paul wants to abolish these three-letter agencies and take out all of this tyranny that we're watching filter into our system as normalcy. And you need somebody that's not scared to get voted out, that's not trying to just make three terms to get that pension, that wants to just go, oh, I'm a Republican, so the R means I just do what the leadership says, even though the leadership is infected by deep statism. So I think that there is a big win for Republicans with what we just witnessed. It's going to hold people to the fire a little bit and make them do the right thing. That is just me, but we're going to steer off of this topic, and we're going to go back to things like free speech and Donald Trump getting reinstated to the Meta platforms. It seems like the world is going to come crashing down, and CNN's ratings are going to go up, because the more Trump is put into society and has a voice, it is a direct stochastic response with Trump derangement syndrome. So, Justine, we're going to start with you. What do you think the fallout is of Donald Trump returning to Meta platforms?
Oh, I think it will be great. It will, of course, be very entertaining. But the left has and continues to be controlling the narrative. And the way they do that is they want to dehumanize and deplatform anyone who's, you don't have to be Trump, you don't have to be brash or even outspoken. Simply utter a thought that merely questions the COVID vaccine narrative, or the narrative, as you mentioned before, that there's two genders and you're either a man or a woman, and you'll get immediately banned off Facebook or Instagram. And now, of course, Twitter is different. But I have a little hope now that President Trump, apparently he's allowed back on Instagram and Facebook, but it seems like a little bit of a stunt. Maybe they'll let him back on for a little bit and then they'll ban him again. And it really is Trump derangement syndrome. But more than that, it's a derangement syndrome towards anyone who merely disagrees with the mainstream leftist agenda that says America's a bad country and needs to be destroyed.
So the interesting thing that is coming out now is Twitter is in a constant war with their own code. And they've been working around the clock 24 hours a day. And if they remove the code, and if they risk the whole thing falling. They said it's like a Jenga tower. So there's still certain keywords that will get you put on a list, and that list will therefore say you're not ad-friendly, which will then still cycle down your visibility. So there's still visibility filters that they're trying to actively fight, but they're rebuilding in real time the entire software. So it's pretty wild. Paul, what do you think about this comeback of DJT to the Meta platforms?
I think it's great, and if he wants, he has a choice to hop on these platforms, say whatever he wants. I'm 100% for free speech, even if it's offensive. I really don't care. He and everyone else should just know that there will be consequences, you know, on what you say, but I believe in free speech 100%, and I really don't care what anyone says. I think it's a great thing, and we'll see what happens.
Ron, 20 seconds, 20 seconds.
I have no opinion.
What was that? That was it? All right, that was quicker than 20, but we are going to take a quick break here. Remember, if you missed any of these shows, any of the shows in the past weeks, you can go back, listen back on any of your favorite platforms for podcasts. We're on all of them. And here on TNT Radio Live, we're streaming all day long, 24/7. Catch us whenever you're awake. This is TNT Radio. This is the John Matlin Show. We'll be right back after these messages.
Give me a minute with TNT Radio's Steve Malzberg.
19-year-old Jacob Kersey was a police officer with the Port Wentworth Police Department in the state of Georgia. I say was because he quit that job. The Daily Signal reports that on January 2nd, Kersey posted this on Facebook. God designed marriage. Marriage refers to Christ and the church. That's why there is no such thing as homosexual marriage. The next day, Kersey said he received a phone call from his superior who told him that he needed to take it down. Kersey said no when he was told that if he didn't do it, he could be fired. He was placed on administrative leave, then told he was back on the force but could no longer post about his views on marriage, so he quit. Kersey said the police chief told him that his Facebook post was the same thing as saying the N-word and F all those homosexuals. That, of course, is ridiculous. It looks like the big losers here are the people of Port Wentworth, Georgia, who lost a kid who could have gone on to become a great cop. But that's political correctness. Thanks for giving me a minute. I'm Steve Malzberg for TNT Radio.
Challenging the consensus and debunking the narrative. This is Viewpoint.
Working group meetings for the WHO pandemic treaty have been taking place behind closed doors. On the 18th of February 2022, the Working Group on Strengthening WHO Preparedness and Response, WGPR, to Health Emergencies, held its seventh meeting. Recommendations were issued, including surveillance systems that would link into each country's national health system, the implementation of universal digital vaccination certificates, and guidelines on how each member country would be paying fees to the World Health Organization, in addition to the annual membership fees each member country is already paying. It proposed that states' parties should ensure adequate and sustained financing at the national and subnational levels and provide adequate and sustained financing to the WHO Secretariat for its work on preventing, detecting, and responding to disease outbreaks. An international pandemic financing faculty is recommended to raise additional reliable financing for pandemic preparedness and for rapid global finance surge for response in the event of a pandemic. The facility should have the capacity to mobilize long-term 10 to 15-year contributions of approximately $5 to $10 billion per annum to finance ongoing preparedness functions. It will have the ability to disperse up to $50 to $100 billion at short notice by front-loading future commitments in the event of a pandemic declaration.
The weekend has landed.
Weekend.
TNT Radio's John Matlin.
That's what weekends are for.
TNT Radio.
Welcome back for the final block of the John Matlin Show. Bar is packed here in Boken, no joking. So what we're going to do is we're going to jump into what we were talking about earlier, how I'm getting these death threats for saying the same thing, why what we're experiencing is happening in general. We're going to talk about things like Drag Queen Story Hour. We're going to talk about the fact that people are being told they must believe and conform to the beliefs of the LGBTQ community, whether... Like me, I'll call anybody by whatever pronoun they want to be called by. If I make a mistake, try not to sue me about it. But that's because I'm nice. I don't have to. Nobody has to. Justine, open the floor with what you think about Drag Queen Story Hour. It's just never leaving the news. I would love to play a clip from Bill Maher right now, but it's just too packed this bar. So he was going on about this is the hill the Democrats are choosing to die on, and that he had a member of the LGBT community on his show, and he was saying, you're supposed to be teaching kids like how to read colors. Why are you teaching them about 72 genders? But I yield, Justine, go.
It's social re-education before these kids can even be educated in the first place. You're basically introducing topics of sex to these five-year-olds who they can't even decide whether or not they're afraid of Monsters, Inc. yet. Now, I saw a picture the other day. It was fairly disturbing, and I don't want to be too gross here at a restaurant, but this man dressed up as a woman, he was on stage, he had a microphone in his crotch, and this little kid was going up to it. The kid looked like he was 4 years old. And this is what's accepted. And of course, they use these watered down terms like sex positive. And
So I'm gonna jump in. So I haven't fact checked, but according to the left, trying to fix the whole microphone in the face, they're saying that was the son of the singer, and he was hugging his leg, and it was a freeze shot. Listen, so there's going to be some stuff that does get taken out of context. We all know that happens to both sides. It does. There's nothing to be done about that. However, I'll get you one that you can't defend, and that was the little kid that went up on stage to the mermaid and pet the mermaid on the crotch. That was something that there is no saving that, and everyone giggled and thought it was funny. How is that funny?
Well, the left, they've even have tried to defend that. The problem is we keep seeing so many of these photos that just seem to look like they've been taken out of context. I mean, at what point do we recognize that these kids are being grouped? And honestly, I think it's even worse the fact that that father, whether or not that photo was taken out of context or not, that kid was on the stage with his father who was dressed up as a woman and clearly acting in a sexual manner. I would call dyphus on that poor kid.
Yeah, we are watching what I call the installation of baseline. It's an installation for children that are learning what is normal, what is life. They don't think about these things, and instead we're skipping to the later ages, like when you're in, like going toward your teens, and you're like, birds, bees, what's going on? And we're putting that stuff, but in hyperdrive for late teen, to young, the youngest. And then what you're doing is you're teaching gender dysmorphia. You're teaching baseline what is on par. It's a mental illness, and that's being taught. I don't care. You could say whatever you want. It's not transphobic. It's not homophobic. I said this in these debates on Twitter. If I'm taking a kid and I'm like, you're in the first grade, right? Am I teaching you about, you know, kids know about death. Maybe their grandparents died, or they find out, they go, what happens? People go away. They start learning. Do I say right now there's a war going on and people are getting their faces blown the hell off? No, because you'd be like, that would terrify a child to say people getting their legs are blown. That's above the pay grade. But in this case, they're like, no, kids should know that. That's the defense I'm getting back, because they have no defense for why kids are learning about sex, genders this way. It doesn't make sense. Paul, do you want to weigh in on this?
Yeah, I think these people just want to sexualize kids at an early age. It's probably the most disgusting thing. I did watch that video with the crouch on stage where the little kid must have been like 4 or 5 years old or something. It was the most disgusting thing I've ever seen in my life. Now, when the time comes and I have kids, and if I ever hear something about this, it's not going to be good.
And now
it's not going to be good.
Are you thinking maybe homeschool? I mean, like, at this point, we're seeing public schools putting taxpayer money into libraries, museums, and then you read the print and it says adults must be accompanied with a kid. Now, I get they don't want creepy adults showing up, but maybe the creepy adult is the person reading the story that is dressed as a drag queen. Who does the background checks? What is the system of making sure this person's not a sex offender? They go, well, what's the chances of that? Happened in Texas like 3 times in 1 year. So it does happen.
And just the other day, they caught two couples. I forgot which state. There were a married couple with two adopted children, I think, or something like that. They were molesting the kids.
Oh, my God.
The kids.
I
don't know the details on it, but they were molesting the kids.
I kind of know the details, and it's so sick that I couldn't really... I was going to do a news segment on it, and I couldn't even bring myself to do it. Right. It's that, and granted, is there straight people in existence that do stuff like this? Yes. The same sickness level, but when this came out, the level, I don't care if you're an alien with alien children and you are from planet Mars. When you say and you're Snapchatting your friends, going to have sex with my child, going to send you images, it goes to a new level. And I guess it's sunk into my head enough because I was so disgusted I couldn't actually talk about it. It's some of the most demonic, vile crap I've ever read.
We need to stop this. And now we're to the point that we have teachers in schools naming this MAP, minor attraction
person.
Yeah. And we need to stop it before they officially normalize it. Like,
Ron, yeah. Do you have...
There's no point of return if they normalize this thing.
Do you have 2 cents to add?
2 cents. Common sense. By removing God from the schools, from public life, we allowed our country to be one in which it became impossible to assert that there were any standards whatsoever with respect to moral matters or even common sense. And it was only a matter of time until we got where we are. Despite the fact that at the time, everyone involved assured us we would never get anywhere remotely close to where we are. Guess what? We're not only here, it's going to get worse.
And that's scary. And that is, it's scary because it is going to get worse because this is only stop one on the train ride. It is aimed to totally demoralize and accept everything that is put forward. And what I mean by that is when they go, the argument right now is when they say people have periods, they mean that of course it's biological females, but males have it too because gender is separate from sexual identity. They go through the whole entire thing, guys, and said no. Because once you say that, and all of a sudden people are like, you have to say this, or otherwise you're part of the problem. And then it's a bully syndrome. It's what it is. It's a groupthink. And then after you get everyone on board, you're pushed to the next level. There is no such thing as a biological female. It's part of genetics that just exists.
If they call me a bully for calling someone ma'am or sir, so be it. I see you. If you're a guy, I'm going to call you a sir. If you're a lady, you're a ma'am. I don't care how you dress. You got purple hair. Whatever it is, that's it. I'm going to call you by your real gender. No pronouns. None of that stuff. None of that stuff. And that's how I push back as well. I'm going to go to a Starbucks. Say, hey, I want an espresso, sir. Even though the guy's wearing a dress.
Now, this is the big thing here is when you say you have to force people to say pronouns. When in ever, and now are these people that are doing the pronoun thing even as a virtue signal, are they saying that before they were homophobic or that they had problems? Because why now? Why all of a sudden now in 2020, 2021, 22, 23, are all of a sudden like, hi, my name's John, he, him. Why is it now? Ron, did you ever walk up to somebody and say, hi, my name's Ron Coleman, he, him?
Of course not, but no one ever really had much question about it.
But that means they assumed your gender, so right off the bat...
No, they didn't assume my gender. They accurately perceived my incredibly masculine gender, which no one has ever mistaken, not once, not for a second.
Well, I'll tell you on Twitter what I got was after we had these conversations, somebody was like, okay, miss... And I wrote back, first of all, you're breaking your own rule. You're misgendering me as a microaggression to try to offend me. That's step one. Step two it's Twitter and I'm a grown-up. I don't care what you say about me. Step three, grow up. Because what we're doing is, anybody ever see the Seinfeld episode where they were wearing the ribbon? This has gone viral all over again. And it was to support curing AIDS. And they said, you're at the march against AIDS. You have to wear the ribbon. And Kramer's like, I don't want to wear a ribbon. So, but you have to wear the ribbon. The crowd that he was there helping ends up attacking Cosmo Kramer because he refused to wear the ribbon. He goes, I don't want to wear the ribbon. I have a right not to wear the ribbon. They said, you have no right. That means you're for AIDS. And Cosmo's chased through the alleyway, and they stomp him out. And that's the mentality that we're at. We're being forced.
Collectivism. That's the main goal, collectivism. So they use every little scenario that we're all going through, whatever it is, it's God in church, transgender pronouns, whatever it is, it comes down to collectivism. And they just want to force everyone to submit. And that's the end goal.
I don't think submission is in a lot of our genetics, which is, again, when you come down to things like the World Economic Forum and things like that, their intent is to wait us out. Their intent is to disarm and then try to make us submit. But they're not going to be able to pull off any of those steps. We're a different type of breed. Justine, are you going to submit to the world? Are you going to start eating worm burgers and beetle patties?
Ew. The only like insect looking thing I will eat is escargot, because that's actually good. But the underlying issue here is the only thing worse than banning speech is compelled speech. And the only way the left is going to impose their new dictionary on us is through compelled speech. You are a bigot. You are an evil person. You are a conspiracy theorist if you do not call me by the pronouns I tell you to call me by. You know, so I'm actually a pageant girl, and we've been having this issue in pageants because now men are being allowed in my pageant and in other pageants. But if you're an actual biological woman and you criticize this and you say, actually, no, the pageant is meant to empower women and they actually give scholarships to women, you might get kicked out of the pageant because you are being a bigot. And that's the underlying goal, is to completely push anyone who dissents from the main leftist thought, push them out of every single institution and isolate them and make an example out of them. So nobody wants to simply raise a question about the lunacy that is there are more than two genders and you must eat the bugs.
So there's a lot to hit on here, and that goes down to people performing sports at sports events that are basically disenfranchising women from womanhood. You know, if you're trying to compete against your female peers and then you're forced to accept a man being a biological man identifying as a female, fighting you, swimming against you, it's just taking where women have gone and setting them back, and men are just taking over another aspect of the identity of being a woman. This started way back when, guys. This started back over a Target bathroom. Who can use the bathroom? And I always said,
I remember that.
And I said, I don't give a crap who's in my bathroom personally. If you're offended that I'm peeing, screw you. I don't care. But women, I totally get why they don't want somebody that's a biological man in the bathroom. I just don't care. I mean, that's me.
You know, the first week that Target did that, and this, I think this was under Obama's like first term. The first week Target did that, they already caught like someone, a guy in there with a wig, trying to molest a young girl.
You go through this. This happened in the Virginia school. It happened in two schools, same student. Student wearing a skirt. That's a boy. Goes into the girl's room. Rapes a girl. Anally rapes a girl. And then they covered it up. Because this virtue signaling, when does it end? Ron, you have any sense to add to this? Or have you had your full of insanity?
There are no standards. There are no standards. Everything becomes possible. And everything that becomes possible becomes actual.
Now, before we start closing out, I promised a fan of mine that he could get his 15 seconds, give a shout out.
I'm Joe Sissy from Burn County, New Jersey. Sigma Nu, Villanova alum. I work on conservative political campaigns since 2004. I'm on Instagram at GuidoJoe23. Big fan of John. God bless you all. Extremely grateful to be here tonight. You guys are all wonderful. God bless.
There you go. So Joe just made his podcast debut. We're down to the final 60 seconds. You want to tell them where they can follow you? Do you want anyone, any website, anything you would like to issue? Go quick.
Sure. Before I get banned, I'm on Instagram, Justine Brooke, B-R-O-O-K-E, Murray, M-U-R-R-A-Y, and that's also my username on Facebook, on Twitter, and Getter. I'm Justine_Brooke, and keep fighting the good fight. Keep fighting for freedom.
Paul, real quick, 10 seconds.
There's a good book that you should read, End the Federal Reserve by Ron Paul.
Yes! There you go.
If you don't have time for a book, read my Twitter feed, at Ron Coleman, R-O-N-C-O-L-E-M-A-N.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us. It's another week, another pub, Hoboken, New Jersey. We are headed out. So thank you for joining us. And if you missed anything, please do go listen back. Every podcast platform has us. This is the John Mallon Show. This is TNT Radio. We out.